earmark it for Trish, and we'll make sure the family gets those funds. There's a quarterly meeting next Sunday after worship, and everyone's input is very important, you know, as we move forward and into the summer and just, you know, how we might shift things or any changes. So we invite your, you know, involvement, and we want to hear from everybody. So if you can stay on, you know, please come next Sunday for the quarterly meeting. Anyone else have any other announcements? We'll let us stand if we are able for our first song.
Please join in the call. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Join in our next hymn. Pray. Lord God of this universe, you are creator of all of it. Before you brought us, you prepared the way. You had purpose for us in this creation, step by step. And day by day, you brought to being the things that we would need to survive. All of it was prepared by your hand and no other. Even in the dirt, there is miracle after miracle. The soil of this earth produces all that you have created to be produced. We can only marvel at what we see in the cosmos and what we see before us in the grasses and the trees. All around us is miracle after miracle that you brought forth. Oh Lord, we worship you. The things that you have done in order to bring us to your purpose. Lord, we thank you so much that your interest in humanity is forevermore. Let us come to you knowing what you have done for us, what your Son stepped forward to complete for us, because you knew we could never do it on our own. God of God, King of Kings, glory be to you, our Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the full price for us to be yours and to find purpose in glory and righteousness in you alone. Oh, let us pray the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading this morning is Ephesians 2, 1 through 13, and it's on page 949 in your pew Bible. From death to life, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life, one in Christ. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Our next reading is Titus 3, 1 through 7, and that's on page 969 in your pew Bible. Maintain good deeds. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show every courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be seated. We come to a time of confession of sin and also hearing the good news of assurance of forgiveness of sins. We've been going through Ephesians, and that book was probably, that letter was written maybe in the 60s AD, but about 20, 30 or more years later, John had a revelation, and Jesus gave seven letters to seven churches, and the first letter is to Ephesians, so maybe 30 years later. And this is what Jesus said, in short, to them. You know, he praised them for all the good works. He said, boy, you're doing really well. You're really taking care of stuff, but I have this one thing against you. He says, you have left your first love. See how far you have fallen. And return, repent and return to the former ways. So, and we know that first love is Jesus. So I'm going to begin in prayer, and then there'll be time for silence, just our own silent confession and coming before the Lord. This is a good time to be cleansed and renewed as we prepare for the Lord's Supper in just a bit. So let us pray. Father, you are holy, incomparable, and superior in every way. In your name, Jesus is above every other name. You hold the place of highest honor, and all else must bow at your feet. You are the everlasting Creator King, yet you chose to commune with us, Jesus. You are worthy of our diligent devotion. You are worthy of our unashamed love. Holy Spirit, search our hearts. Show us where we have failed and fallen short, where we have failed to ascribe to you, God, the highest place. Reveal to us the ways in which we have compromised our commitment to you, forsaking our first love. Let's take a moment of silent confession. Thank you, Lord, for tenderly drawing our wayward hearts back to you, to the priority of loving you and receiving your love, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. We can be assured of that. And Jesus, we truly want to live our life out of the first commandment, loving you first and fully, and from there, sharing your love with the world. Oh, Lord, may our hearts desire be that in all things you would have preeminence. Without your loving leadership, we are incomplete. May nothing else replace the pleasure of your company, your love. We return to you our first love, Lord Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing, if we are able.
I was dead in my transgressions, under in sin. I went searching for redemption, down a road that had no end. I was
Come on up, kids. Time of blessing. Did anybody pull out their Godspell music? I'm singing some Godspell music after last Sunday. Hey, and guess what? It's going to be performed in Danbury this summer, July 23rd through August 7th, outdoors, under the stars, at the Richter House Arts Center, Danbury. So it's, you know, maybe seven or eight shows, and if people want to go, we can check it out. There's only one Thursday showing, and that's the cheaper, $5 cheaper, but it's fantastic. I think God is confirming a word that the gospel needs to get outside every day through us, through you and me, everywhere. And also from last week, there was a little bit of a nudge. Did you see the Lord more clearly in any way? Did you love him more dearly? Did you follow him more nearly? You know, these three things that we prayed. I hope so. And hopefully something today will stimulate you and me to respond to God's word, to be obedient and stepping out in faith. Now, you may have seen outlines for Ephesians. There's some here, some in the wing. There's only about 20 of them, but we can make more copies if need be. But it really lays out nicely the six chapters of Ephesians. You know, the first three, it's our inheritance in Christ, who we are. In Christ, the work of God, our heavenly standing. And the last three chapters, that's living it out. Our life in Christ. Christ is in us. It's the walk of the Christian, walking in a worthy manner. It's our earthly walk with the Lord. And last week, again, we were asked to know the blessings that we have in Christ. You know, chapter 1, verse 3, it connects there. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's incredible. You know, we need to know more and more of that. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. For this morning, we're going to look at our past life without Christ. We're to remember that. Our former way of living, our former life without Christ, but our present life in Christ. You know, if we don't know if we believe in Christ, you can today and leave that former life and now walk with Christ. Everybody at least knows the name Charles Spurgeon, a respected English preacher in the 19th century, theologian, a writer, and he, you know, well respected. He came to faith in Christ at the age of 15. There was a snowstorm, and he ended up in a little church for a long time, and there must have been a long sermon that day, and he came to faith. But what's amazing is he preached his first sermon in response to his coming to faith in Christ that same year, and he never looked back. Here's an interesting story about him as well. He was riding home after a long day of work. He was, you know, not in a car, it's 19, he was on a horseback, but he was weary, he was depressed. He had battled depression over the years when suddenly, like a flash of lightning, a scripture came to mind, and it was, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." He pondered that on the way home. He pondered it at home, and then he knew it was the Lord saying, "My grace is sufficient for you." And then he said, "I should think it is, Lord." And he burst out laughing. So it's the first time he understood, you know, Abraham's holy laughter. And then he shared a couple insights about this grace. It was as though some little fish, very thirsty, was troubled about drinking all the river dry. But Father Thames, Thames River, said, "Drink away, little fishy, for my stream is sufficient for thee." Or it seemed like a mouse in the granaries of Egypt after the 7 years of famine, fearing it might die, but hearing Joseph say, "Cheer up, little mouse, my granaries are sufficient for thee." And lastly, I imagine a man on a lofty mountain saying, I breathe so many cubic feet of air every day, I fear I shall exhaust the oxygen in the atmosphere. But God, breathe away, O man, and fill thy lungs, for my atmosphere is sufficient for thee. And Spurgeon gives a charge, O people, be great believers. Little faith will bring your souls to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your souls. That's God's amazing grace every day. His many kindnesses. I love that about grace. A little more about Ephesians. Ray Pritchard, he writes that the whole gospel message is found in Ephesians 2 in six words, three phrases, two words each. If we know it, we can share it, so we ought to know it and share it along with our testimony. The six words, Ephesians 2:1, you were, you know, formerly, the past life without Christ. And Ephesians 2:4, we just sang it. We love this phrase, but God, but God. And then Ephesians 2:8, through faith. You were, but God, through faith. You were describes not only what we used to be, but it also describes the world. Dead in their sins. They're spiritually dead because they have a life without God. And the second two words tell us how grace works, but God. He announces the world's greatest rescue mission when the Creator took on flesh in Jesus Christ to perform the work of salvation. God's mercy and his great love, we are made alive together with Christ. And the final two words explain how we come in contact with God's grace. It's through faith, just simple belief, trusting God's grace. Saved by grace through faith. And it's only through faith, not faith in works or faith in anything else. It's just grace through faith. That's how we're saved. So the six words, you were but God through faith. It's simple to understand, and we can share it along with our testimony. Let's be obedient to that this week. Let's reach out. It's time. The gospel needs to be out there in public each and every day through each and every one of us. All right, so Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, or the you were, it is a bleak picture. As Antoinette was reading, it was almost like, stop, Antoinette, that first part. It's a bleak picture. And some have asked, could it be this bad? Is that the reality of remembering our past without Christ? Is it really that bad? Formerly dead in our transgressions and sins, right along with the ways of the world, serving the prince of the air, the spirit, that's the devil himself, now still working in all who are disobedient. Formerly living in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the mind. By nature, children of wrath? That's kind of astonishing, isn't it? Children of wrath? Hey, some of us here, we have our stories. Yeah, that's what a life without Christ can be like. Others have, you know, grew up in a way that they don't know a whole lot of, you know, what's described there. Grew up in the church, never living like that. But Paul's point is that even at birth, we are separated from God until there's conversion, until there's a coming to faith. Those who grew up in the faith or have always been part of church, there has to be a point where you know that you believe. You know, you have had that conversion experience. We all were dead spiritually, a life without God, a meaningless life. And hopefully no one here this morning is living their life apart from God. But there's hope. But God, right? This bleak picture, but God. And the main point of Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is that God did not stay out of the picture. He did not stay out of the story. He made things right. Charles Spurgeon again, from his book, All of Grace, you're going to like this. It is a blessing for us that as sin lives and the flesh lives and the devil lives, so Jesus lives. It is also a blessing that whatever strength these may have to ruin us, Jesus still has greater power to save us. And not just from hell, but every day we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. God works out his salvation each and every day for us. So verses 4 through 10 include but God and through faith. But God then states what God has done in Christ for us all. You know, these implications are enormous. And it's not, could it be this bad? No, it's also, could it be this good? Is this the reality? We ought to be jumping up and down. This is the reality? Wow. God, rich in mercy. His mercies being new every morning. I mean, that's a wonderful truth. Thank you, Lord. How many of us prayed that this week even? It came to mind. Lord, I know your mercies are new today. They're new every morning. Thanks be to God. You know, even, well, his great love with which he has loved us. You know, that cannot be said enough about how much that God loves each and every one of us. And even if you're the youngest ears listening here this morning or the oldest, God loves you with an everlasting love. He would do anything to show you that love, and he's done everything to provide knowledge of that love that he has for each and every one of us. Even when we were spiritually dead, what did he do? Well, he made us alive together with Christ. He raised us up with Christ. He seated us together with Christ in the heavenly realms. That's our spiritual reality. It's amazing that what was said about Jesus back in chapter 1, 19 through 21, is now applied to us as believers. We are where Christ is spiritually. And why all this? Verse 7 is just amazing. All this so that God might show us the unimaginable wealth of his grace in kindness toward us. Do you know this truth, the many kindnesses of God shown to everyone, shown to you each and every day? He is pouring out his grace upon us, his many loving kindnesses. You know, these two realities, remembering the past without Christ and our present life with Christ, it all should leave us speechless. You know, leading to worship and awe and wonder. Even overwhelmed over the description of God's grace. We are not a child by nature of wrath any longer, but saved by grace through faith. Shown the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. John Piper says God's purpose is this. His purpose is to spend the riches of his grace and kindness on us. He will never run out of fresh ideas about how to show you his kindness. May he pour out his glory and his kindness upon us this morning. There's a woman in her 30s that about 3 months ago, she experienced the abundance of God's grace and mercy, you know, healing in her life. There's a church down in Georgia, northern Georgia, that they were just doing baptism services, and people were coming. And somebody invited them to come up to Knoxville, Tennessee, and say, would you do one of your baptism services? You know, the reality of God baptize or Jesus baptizing us with the Spirit and with fire was happening. People were being touched in amazing ways. So this young woman, she's in her early 30s. She has Crohn's disease, so much of her life, she's been in and out of hospitals and doctors and medications. A portion of her colon was gone, half of her stomach gone. And for the last year, she could not walk, or she had to be helped. She couldn't eat anything for 3 months. She could not drink anything. She just couldn't keep it down. She was so sick, but she wanted to come to this baptism service. So friends, family helped her there. They had to place her in the baptismal water, a big tank under a tent. There were a few tanks in a row. So they put her in the water, and the pastor, you know, put her under the water, you know, that symbolism of dying with Christ and then being raised up out of the water, being raised with Christ. And she stood up and just face in the hands. And you could tell, there's a video of this actually online, you could tell that something had quickened her, strengthened her. She knew that her legs were strengthened. And the first thing she said was, Jesus loves me. He's not angry with me any longer. She had felt that her sickness was because God did not love her. And she asked for water, and she drank it down quickly, and they got her out, and she just overwhelmed, realizing that she's healed. Something, you know, she can walk. She can walk. And later on, a few months later, doctors did say that she's been healed of Crohn's. She's not on medication any longer. It was confirmed medically. And but when she got out of the baptismal tank, had the drink of water, she just got down on her hands and knees and worshiped. She's just overwhelmed, and people are just amazed around her. And she said, He loves me. Jesus loves me. Oh, how He loves me. And she didn't stop. And she went on to say, Oh, how Jesus loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And you could just see a ripple hitting people in that outdoor tent. It was just, it's amazing. It's amazing. Oh, Lord. May You show us Your many kindnesses, the kindnesses of Your grace, Your mercy today. Well, Ephesians 2 is really the contrast of humanity's plight without God and the privilege of humanity with God, which is remarkable. So two ways of living are submitted, the former way of life in sins or present life in Christ. And the text is asking, where do you live? Where do you live? Not in sins, but in a manner worthy of Christ. You know, we struggle on this earth. We talk about that. We're honest about that. We all know we struggle on this earth. There's no perfection. That's only Christ. So we wander away from our spiritual home, our thoughts, our desires, our actions. You know, indulging in things we probably shouldn't, even thought processes. But God, we can always return home immediately wherever we are in our hearts spiritually. We can return home. Through prayer, confession, allowing our mind to be renewed, transformed, claiming that we have died with Christ, our sins buried with Him, we have been raised with Christ, made alive together with Christ, trusting God's grace to be sufficient. And God told Paul, not just my grace is sufficient for thee, but my power, my strength, Paul, is made perfect in your weakness. It's perfected in your weakness. So where will we live? That's about geography, isn't it? Where are we living? In faith or without faith? It determines our identity. In the former life, or a life in and with Christ. Our understanding about our identity and everything, it comes outside of ourselves. And conversion is a transition to our new identity. Our identity in Christ is not determined by our personal characteristics, our experiences, our abilities, though those are important. It is determined by life in and with Jesus Christ. Christ is the environment that shapes us. The world will shape us if we're not being shaped by something else, by Christ. Paul felt so strongly about this, Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Jesus needs to be our primary culture, to be shaped into this new identity that we have in him. We need to grow the truth and knowledge of this, of him. So our new identity, in summary a little bit, in Ephesians 2 is this. First, we have experienced, or four truths, we have experienced resurrection from death to life. We have experienced that by faith because of God, his great love poured out upon us, his mercy. Romans 6:13 describes us as emerging from the grave. You know, we were dead in sins, but now alive in Christ, emerging from the grave with something to, looking for something to do. God has something for us to do. His good works that he planned before the foundations. He has good things for us to do, each and every one of us, determined even before we were born. And we've come up out of the grave spiritually. And we need to be active. And second, our life is the very creation of God. We are a new creation. We were born in his, you know, created in his image and likeness and made new in Christ. We'll look at this again in 3 weeks in Ephesians 4. Third, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm spiritually. You know, that spiritual authority God has given to us. Yes, there's privilege with that, there's honor with that, there's security with that. You know, sharing that position of authority with Christ. Wow. We're not held back by fear. We're not held back by vulnerability. We have what we need for life with God. And lastly, we experience God's abundant kindness. Let's call them kindnesses. That's what the Bible talks about. All of his kindnesses. And we will experience it forever, on this earth and for eternity. The only thing appropriate to do now is to sing that song from Godspell, All Good Gifts. I'm not going to attempt that, but all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord, oh, thank the Lord for all his love. And then Gary on the drum would go, doom, 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 doom. I really want to thank you, Lord. I really want to thank you, Lord. You know, what if people experienced encounters with us outside these walls, even today, as people who are joined to God, the loving giver of every spiritual blessing? What if they saw grace extended to from people who have experienced abundant grace, who are growing in grace? What if they saw evidence of the obedience of God? We have, you know, us approaching them out of obedience to God, us serving them, sacrificing for them. A transformed life from death to life. What if they saw a life worth having? That's what we have to offer. A life worth having. They will want it. They can have it. They can accept that. So go and share the gospel. You were but God through faith. Our outreach we are called to, each and every one of us, from young to old, yes, evangelism needs to be a genuine expression of a life joined to a loving God. The sharing of a faith worth living. Amen. I invite you to stand if you'd like to for our song and response. In just a moment, you'll be invited to come forward to receive the elements. It's a little chalice. On one side, it has the bread. You just peel it off, a little cracker. And then we'll flip it upside down and peel that off, and that's the juice. But if you would, when you come forward, come down the center aisle. Even those from the wing, you can kind of cut through and around so that as you receive, you can return back to the pews in the middle or to the wings. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle, I am humble in heart. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled."
Let us pray. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful God, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the bread and drink the cup, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Let us arise for our affirmation of faith, found on 878 in your pew Bibles. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and Jesus Christ, his only Son,
our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born
of the Virgin Mary, was crucified and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Apostle Paul. Lord Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took the bread at Passover. Thanks to God. And after that, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns."
Let us pray. O Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his death and the resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ and bring us to that heavenly feast where, with all your saints, we will be gathered in glory for everlasting. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
All is prepared at the feast. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I invite you to come down through the center aisle and hold the elements until all have received, and then we'll partake together the bread and then the cup. Come, for all is prepared. Bread cover and just take the cracker. Take and eat the body of Christ broken for you.
The new covenant in Jesus' blood until he returns.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you. We thank you for this supper shared in the Spirit with your Son, Jesus, who makes us new and strong, who brings us eternal life. And we do praise you for giving us all good gifts in him. We pledge ourselves to serve you, even as in Christ you have served us. We praise you, Almighty Father, for all your servants who having witnessed to you on this earth now live with you in heaven. We remember our loved ones, the church members. We remember them. Oh Lord, we grieve in a way, and there's also joy knowing where they are, but keep us in fellowship with them until we meet with all the faithful in the joy of your kingdom. And Lord, we're mindful of those in need around us, various things going on. We're also reminded that today, this day, 77 years ago, there was the Normandy beach landing in France, D-Day. We're thankful that that ultimately led to the end of World War II, eventually. There's somewhere about 300,000 living veterans of the war. We think of them, we remember them, we honor them, Lord. We pray for all who grieve today, various losses. Oh, Lord, bring your comfort, your peace. We pray your healing touch where it's needed. We pray that for Trish. You know all that's going on with the tests and the different things, and just draw her close to yourself. Bring that healing and renewal. For Dan Whitney, who had a pretty major arm surgery this last Thursday, we pray your healing touch, Lord. Be with those who are alone and shut in. Be with those who are lost and hurting. A touch of your hand, Lord, for each and every one here today in need of healing in some way. Heart, mind, body, soul. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. We give you our worship. We give you ourselves, our tithes and offerings now as we close out our service, Lord. We know that you go before us, and we love you. We worship you. We want to serve you more and more obediently each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand for our doxology and give praise to God. Amen to that. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.